Here we are, you versus you, you v you, episode 7. This is all about micro adjustments. I'm your host, Dave Woods.
Alicia Morales.
And we're here coming at you for the theme of what is failure, or what is how do you recalibrate from there? Mm-hmm. So you can either see the issue as you failed and just scrap it, get depressed, throw out all your ideas, erase that vision board, just disregard what you were going for, and then go back to your old self. Or you can find where that win was in the failure, because something had thrown you off course. Where did that go? Where did you go wrong on that? So failure versus recalibration. All right, here's a little recap for the past 8 weeks. So the goal was to lose 15 pounds. I did not do that. I lost 5 pounds. And so this was what inspired the episode to say, although the timing was not where I wanted it to be, you heard it, the 1.5 to 2.5 pounds a week, I would be there 8 weeks. I know that I can do that. How come that didn't happen? Well, where did I go wrong? What made me veer off course? Was it something that I was eating? Was it exercise? Was it lack of exercise? Was it overtraining? Was it undertraining? Oh, well, I got it all figured out. Yeah, it's hard to just even say it out loud, you know? It was moving, packing up, unpacking. I'm still in the midst of unpacking baby girl's schedule of getting dropped off at nursery school, increased four times as much, right? So it's a ton of mileage right there. And then with that amount of time left and energy left in the work schedule, how do I go to the gym, right? So that's where things veered off. But this shouldn't be a surprise. There's never going to be a perfect moment of a clean 8 weeks. And one of the things that I had shown was the graph where it's showing you the decrease going down towards the goal till I hit it. But if it's not a straight line, right? It's anything but consistent. It's consistently going down, but it's not a straight plummet. Oh, straight 8 weeks, 1.5 to 2 pounds, 2.5 a week, and I'm golden. That's not how it worked. The key to that success for dropping 100 was having the spurts of doing something intense for 8 weeks and then tapering back to recover, but still do more than if I had done nothing at all. And that's what the micro adjustments were all about. At first, write the vision down, put up some parameters, stick to the script. That's it. Mm. But the reality is something's going to happen. Injury, life situation, family crisis, stranger crisis, right? Something's bound to come up. That's what the whole point of Murphy's Law was, you know. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Well, in this moment, in those 8 weeks, nothing extremely devastating happened, but things that were unforeseen did happen. And was I able to do what I said I was going to do and stick to that schedule, or readjust on the fly? And so I readjusted on the fly and came out with the win of 5 pounds, because the original version of myself, the default 335 pound version of myself, Dave Woods, that old self, old friend, mm-hmm. Is still taking the loss, right? Because that version of myself, the past self, is 335. I've reestablished what that weight is, 335. I'd veered off track in terms of what the vision for life fitness was by gaining weight over the holidays and new relationship and all of that. But then when I came back to my senses, I said, oh, let me stick to it. And this is what it looks like for 8 weeks. In those 8 weeks, I had worked down to lose 5 pounds. So that's the win. Mm-hmm. That's the good thing. So now I can start it again. I can, instead of saying, oh, let me try and get back on course and I'll extend it an extra week. No. That's the accountability to yourself to say, for 8 weeks, the best that I could do was 5 pounds. I'm glad it was more than 4 pounds. I'm glad it was more than 2 pounds. I'm glad it was more than 1 pound. Those would still be wins, though, right? Because the problem would be if I was gaining fat. Part of this right now is the recomposition of body mass. So I definitely have gotten stronger, right? And then the fat has been the side effect of the burning that's been going down. So I don't know what exactly that ratio is, because I don't have one of those in-body scales, like, you know, those really accurate ones where you're holding the handles with your hand and you're stepping on it, right? For body composition. But I know just from having done this that things have moved around, right? There's more muscle, there's less fat, but the weight is still the same. So this is one of the moments we talked about in a previous episode, to not beat yourself up if you're going slower than you thought you would, because it's almost like a slingshot. You know, you pull back to release and then you go even further into your vision and into your goal, or the time scale changes a bit because there's a moment where your body needs to recalibrate. All right. The thing that was big for me right now was stepping back to say, what lesson is in this for considering it a win? And one of those things was remembering, you know, if you're in the wilderness, if you're in the jungle, if you're in really this place that's dense with vegetation, and you're hacking away, you had plotted your course and you're hacking away at the brush. Every now and then, it's really good to stop, you know, brief hiatus, to scout the land, survey the land. So what people a lot of times would do, would climb a tree and look to see where that forecast was for where you were going to land. If you're off by a little bit, it's a good thing that you know you're off by a little bit, so you course correct. The scout climbs back down from the tree or the incline in the terrain, and then you're able to see where you veered off and then get back, course correct back onto that, and you're golden. So that's what happened here. And I was able to say the unforeseen moments in those 8 weeks had to involve some major energy and output for what was necessary for that time period, right? Can't just push off, packing up, moving out, reestablishing the living situation, unpacking, right? So within that, the intensity is what had changed, only because what was in the tank. But then bigger than that is saying, how much is actually in the tank to do this? And when that happened, I was like, oh man, I got a ton in the reserves, because I remember all those things that originally had motivated me, right? You know, I was sick and tired of being achy and feeling groggy and not having energy, getting tired of walking upstairs and then being out of breath, needing to change my shirt because I'm so sweaty, right? So those moments were like, oh, hey, you don't want to go back to that. No. Well, how can I make a small adjustment? Oh, I'm going to take the stairs all the time, right? What's inconvenient normally would be stairs. Just take the escalator, take the elevator, right? Instead saying, oh, that's a backstop in terms of fitness. If I don't go to the gym, I'm not going to feel like I missed out because I was getting those extra steps in by taking those steps, taking those stairs, right? Taking that inconvenient route. One of the other backstops I always tell people to do, especially at the beginning of a fitness regimen, is after you eat, just go for a 10-minute walk, right? Every meal, you have 3 meals a day, 4 meals a day. That's 30 to 40 minutes of walking. If you eat 5 meals a day, oh, that's 50 minutes. If you eat 6 meals a day, right, this is probably for someone who's lifting heavy, that's 60 minutes of cardio that's ingrained into that mealtime. And that is one of my favorite backstops in terms of staying on course. So, and the last, oh no, are you taking a check for when I said so? No. I was hoping you forget now. All right. No. So the moment of seeing the micro and the macro, right? Seeing the small and the large vision, and then being on course and forgetting about what your timeline looked like. I think it's a really healthy thing to say 8 weeks I'll be intense, and then take a breather a couple days, then get back into it. Because that recalibration is that winner high protein dinner, right? So you started a cascading effect of me using the crutch of saying S-O. I'm not even gonna I'm gonna put parameters of it. Okay, I'm glad that you're just jotting something down, because yeah. I think that's the thing that set me off to be like, all right, now I need to be hyper self aware not to do that. And it would be great if people, even on episode 7, had never noticed that before, and it was just something that I had seen.
At episode 10, we'll say the count.
At episode 10, if you leave a comment with how many times I had said S space O, I will do 10 push-ups for everyone. Easily. Because I started getting back on that push-up life. So I'm doing sets of 50, doing sets of 50 push-ups every time I do push-ups, and doing variations of those push-ups, whether they're triangular push-ups, wide push-ups, close push-ups, the incline push-ups, decline push-ups, kicking my feet up on the bed and pushing off the ground, right? All the leaning against the desk, pushing off the counter, all those things. So I'm ready to accept that challenge, and then that'll be the reward. Now I have to find alternative words to default to, something that's more beneficial to speaking and coming across like I'm literate, right? All right. The next thing was always grabbing a moment of victory. You know, my man's David Goggins says, you know, put something in the cookie jar so you can remember those moments of having overcome those obstacles. And one of them is when I graduated from undergrad at Northeastern University, right? It was a challenge, not only because it was demanding psychologically and academically, but it was a moment of it's being a 5-year school. You have, well, at the time, I don't know if they do anymore, it was on a trimester system. So you'd go to school for a semester, you'd work for a semester, and then you have a break for a semester. And that was life. But one of the unforeseen things was having a nervous breakdown, right? So in between 2007 and 2013, I had 4 psychotic breakdowns, and it came from not knowing my own limits. And this is more than saying not knowing your stressors, but it was not having the tools in the emotional toolbox for recognizing it and then recalibrating. So this is something that's near and dear to me, because this is, you know, something I never talk about. I talk about it with the kids on retreat when we do catechism, the confirmation kids have retreat, the high school students, and talk about how that was a moment of trauma that came as a hurdle. As a hurdle to leap, and then recognize when the danger zones are up there. So not getting enough sleep, being overworked, being pressed in all directions, and not having that release. A lot of people, this is like a little bit of a sidebar, talk about the dangers of partying too much and drinking in college. I think that's actually one of those cathartic releases that we also don't acknowledge. It's like, oh, you need to study hard, do your work, but then, you know, socialize and meet people. Now, I'm not saying, you know, do Greek life and all those things that come into it, 'cause, you know, there's definitely some connotations there, and I'm not promoting that, especially when this is for Imago Dei, right? And there's young people listening to this. It's saying when you put your work in and then metaphorically let your hair down, that is a good moment of blowing off steam. When the first time that it happened, I had snapped because I had unintentionally joined a church that ended up being a non-denominational Christian cult, right? So there's all these things, there's a lot of variables involved. That was the moment of, you know, finals, the demands from this group that was a little bit more insidious in terms of what their motives were for recruiting college kids, and then not recognizing where I was at in terms of how I was pushing myself. So back in the day, I was running 5 miles a day, right? Working out for rugby. And there was all year long, right? So two seasons, fall and spring. And then the workload of this school, right? And so it's really here, really strange hearing myself talk about it, because I think the humility aspect of not just revealing where the things that are not pretty about the things that I've been through, but in terms of saying the school has a reputation for a high excellence and a standard of excellence that, you know, rightfully is there as a top 100 school. It's actually one of the top 50 in the United States, right? When globally, I don't know what the stats are, but that moment of saying this school is no joke, right? What you did in high school is not going to work here. And if you think so, it'll be reflected in your grades and you'll probably flunk out, right? That goes for any school. We can just go across the board and say D1 schools, you cannot mess around too much. Stop and smell the roses within reason and be moderate, of course. But you can't just throw precaution in the wind. And then the opposite end of the gamut, that's where I had messed up, was saying I need to be a 4.0 student and graduate at the top of my class. Right? So you match up those realities of what you got, where you're at, what you're doing, and then saying, oh, it's a 5-year school, this is what it looks like. In all of that combination of factors of being pushed physically, mentally, socially, spiritually, I did not have any backstops in place. And that's what caused fight or flight mode in my brain to always be on fight, right? And that's actually the lesson after experiencing it 4 times of saying, I need to slow down. I don't have to be a 4.0 student. I don't have to graduate at the top of my class. I hate saying the term C's get degrees. I mean, it's true, but you can also adjust according to the demands, right? So that type of thing, darn it. Okay, we're not gonna play this game anymore with saying so. Oh, we can play it, but I'm not gonna stop and harp on it anymore. That's just my own, it's my own crutch. I guess it's my own crutch for saying, you know, this is something that's hard to talk about even to this day. But instead saying, okay, the lesson that I learned from 4 nervous breakdowns, which I would consider a failure because I didn't learn what those lessons were, those life lessons in it, until later. So right now, 2023, it's been 10 years because I learned after 4 repeated, I consider it something that God had ordained. Like in that suffering, it was to learn how much I can actually handle and then have enough self-awareness to say, I can't handle that anymore. I can't handle this situation. I need to scale back my workload. Mm-hmm. There's a lot on the plate. But in life, there's always going to be a lot on your plate. And within saying, what can I manage now? And then what's going to be late? I wanted to lose 15 pounds, lost 5. That is still a win. The perfect world, the ideal situation would have been, I would have lost those 15 pounds. But that's not what happened. But it's far from a reason to beat myself up and then throw it all out, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater. No, none of that.
But how was that in between the failure and the recalibrating? Mm-hmm. You know, how was that in between, like the getting up? Mm-hmm. I think you're going to that point right now.
So. Yeah. And so I think that's part of the reason why, one, I relate to David Goggins on so many different levels. You know, I don't have the same backstory, mm-hmm. but in terms of Rocky round 14, 2 minutes and 13 seconds. It's my favorite part of the movie. Absolutely favorite part of the movie, because it would have been better if he stayed down, but he was at the lowest of the lowest after having put in so much work and so much training and no one really believing in him, right? Getting up and then fighting again. And in my world, for each of those times, the first was definitely the most traumatic, because I withdrew from Northeastern for a year and I said, I don't ever want to come back to the school again. Matter of fact, Boston, I'm writing that place off. That place is done. They don't even have roads that make sense. Philly's so much better anyway. Forget this place. But the whole thing was, I knew just from the stories of people who've who've taken a year off or who have flunked out for whatever reason, right? Or whatever the circumstance showed up in their world. They either didn't go back because they didn't plan to go back. They said, oh, I'll go back when I can. But then life happened, right? Mm. Got married, had kids, had a health, another health issue, right? Broke a leg, lost a leg, got cancer, whatever it might be. They did not foresee that coming, whoever does, right? But that's the thing of the pushback that happens when you set a goal, right? So I didn't know what the Lord had in store for me, but I said, I know that if I don't say 1 year, anything could happen, right? So this is that in that moment, immediately signed up for community college back in the good old burbs of Philly, Montgomery County Community College, Montco, right? In order to keep my mind sharp, right? So after outpatient, went immediately to school and said, you know, these probably are not going to count for anything, but I need to stay in the academic mindset, or I'll just get a job, start working. And I'm sure when money's coming in, it'll be even harder to say, I'm going to go back to being a student, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the year, having taken a full course load, miraculously, all those credits transferred, right? And so that was not even part of the original intention of having gone to community college. Right? That was just a bonus. And in that moment, when it did transfer, I said, I just learned a new lesson about community college. I always took it as a joke. Mm-hmm. Right? I said, you know, you're probably not pushing yourself. That's why you're at community college, but was humbled in it. And then was able to reap the benefits of it. So now I'm a huge fan of saying, if you don't know what you're going to do for college, go to community college first. Community college is a great intermediary space, yes, between high school and college. And you also have some heavy hitting professors who are adjunct professors at community college, right? Hey, yeah. Professor Morales. And you can find her at
the architecture.
At architecture. Yeah. But the whole I'm just kidding. The whole moment was and when I say humility, I also mean just thinking, mm-hmm, thinking of myself less, my ego less, yes, the perception of what I think it is. Just thinking of it less, it's not getting rid of it or talking down. Humility is actually seeing the truth, the reality of what you're doing in light of someone else's struggles and pain. And so one of those great areas of humility is talking about the moments that I did mess up, the moments that I did fail, those moments that are not pretty, right? So in that moment.
Those moments that chiseled you.
Chiseled me, yeah. Yeah, obviously. Chiseled my abs a little bit, but man, that's, we're on there. It's a long road. It's a long road right there. The whole thing that I'm getting at is the brief hiatus at Monco changed. I had a paradigm shift in my perception of what community college was, and now that I know, I'm. You know, I'm just trying to think a little bit about baby girl. If she doesn't know what she wants to do by her junior year of high school, I'll say, hey, think about it for 2 years at community college. Mm-hmm. You know, those will be the general education. Mm-hmm. And then you transfer to another school, whether it's D1, D2, or D3, right? But you'll know and you'll have gotten that foundation. Mm-hmm. And then it steps up into this. And especially at community college, where you there should be a rhythm of life, and that's with not being in a dorm, right? So that is a moment of seeing what college light looks like, you know, the LITE, what it looks like. And then if you do opt not to go to community college and you go to a 4-year school, 5-year school, that pattern of life is not conducive to education, right? It's good for exposure, but not necessarily studying hard. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that discipline already, you should probably skip college, right? That's a ton of debt that you will be accruing, unless you have a full ride, of course, or a partial ride or scholarship. But that reality of the value of that education, you can do when you know what you're getting yourself into.
Absolutely. Right?
But this is not here to pontificate on the advantages of community college, but instead just tell you about some of the hurt and pain that I've been through, mm-hmm. and how I have the scars from it, but it's not bleeding anymore, right? It's not an open wound. I've healed from it because I did learn when stressed out, when life pushes on me, mm-hmm. talk about it. Talk about it with your friends, family, talk about it with God. For me, I like to go to adoration and just talk to God in the silence, right? The next is recalibrate more frequently instead of when I get stressed out, when I get overwhelmed. And it would be saying, what's something that's leisurely to do? One thing that I try and make it a point is to just zone out during the day, right? There'll be a moment, whether I'm at the cafe or on a park bench or at the park or just on the couch, just zone out with no intention of doing anything. Right? Oh, let's see where my mind goes. Let's just disconnect, see where mine goes for 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes. Nothing too serious. I'm a huge advocate of saying there should be one day a month where you take the day off. Don't even look at your phone and just let your mind wander. Maybe catch up on some chores and errands that you weren't doing or some task that you'd put off for a long time. And hopefully this person using a weed whacker knocks it off. That's insane. All right.
No, he's actually coming this way.
Oh no. All right. Well, let's see. We got time. Oh no. Okay. This is the worst case scenario. Murphy's Law is at me again. It's all right. The whole thing is saying, where's that cathartic release coming from? Mm-hmm. And it might have to do with being in tune with what your life variables look like. Mm-hmm. And in 8 weeks, it's a great time to focus on your fitness and really get after it, examining your why, examining what the mission is, examining what your strategy is, but then seeing how far you've come along the way, because that old version of yourself is not doing anything. And it's waiting for you. It's just waiting for you to have some more donuts, have some more cake, have some more pizza. There's not a problem with having that. It's just you need to combat that by pushing back, by pushing physically against it.
Where is it taking you?
Yeah. And the micro adjustments are saying, what are the small changes you can make in your life to make it a pattern and a lifestyle that you can maintain for life?
Can you say that again?
It's the small changes that you can make in your day-to-day that you can maintain for life and are able to do that are going to be giving you huge dividends, the large returns. If you are eating 3 meals a day, intermittent fasting is great. That means you're not going to be eating for a window. That might even just be as simple as one meal you're taking out. So whatever you choose, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, for the average person, one of those meals take out. It's not for life. It could be for life. And I'll preface, if you do the ketogenic diet, do as much research first and then realize that's part and parcel of why the keto diet works, is because your body is resetting and changing how you take in fuel and then burning the fat storages, right? So we're gonna go with it. The whole thing is time, maybe in the morning, I like to do it before night, or at the end of the week, say, what have I done this week? What worked, what didn't work? Let me review what I've done, what I didn't do, how can I improve? That's that surveying the land, scouting the land, seeing where you're at, and course correcting from there. A little bit better than you were yesterday. If you keep racking up that, I was a little bit better than I was yesterday, I was a little bit better than I was last week, you're going to find yourself strides away from who you used to be. And that moment for me is seeing what I look like when I was 335. And now looking at what I'm like right now, coming in at around 240, 242. Oh man. I think in the next episode, I'm going to do an accurate measure of what that recomposition looked like and how much weight was lost. I messed up by having not done that before I came into the studio to record. But hey, this is part of the thing of mentioning I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. And I'll tell you what those imperfections are and where those shortcomings were. So the big thing here is just saying, how do you see failure? And if you can switch that to instead, what did you learn from that failure? Mm-hmm. And was it a total loss? It was not a total loss. I went down 5 pounds. What's that recalibration look like? Oh, it looks like looking at what those statistics were from having recorded what you did at the gym, or how many push-ups you did, or how far you walked, how many times a day you walked, what you ate. Did you do intermittent fasting? Did you not? Were you just overindulging in the desserts? And I say that because I got a huge sweet tooth, right? The whole thing is just putting into perspective so that you can get to where your goal is. And then you have that next goal in mind to push it so that you don't get rusty, that you don't default to that old pattern of thinking and doing things. My old version, that's the thing that gets me out of bed, right? Is saying there's a 335-pound version of me that's just waiting as the default. So it's not a paranoia. It's not a being fixated as a fear. It's a healthy acknowledgement that when I didn't have these parameters up, and when I wasn't actively and intentionally fighting against what my default was, that was what the result was. I'm here for longevity. I'm here for baby girl. I'm here to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so in those moments of reexamining the why, I can say, oh, when I don't want to, I can. When I don't feel like it, I can change the mood. When I'm not feeling motivated, I can look at one of those cookie jar moments. Graduating from Northeastern University for undergrad, right? Oh, there were things that happened throughout, which were really great, but we don't have time. We got less than 120 seconds. Matter of fact, just glancing down. But this is definitely needs to be a longer episode. There'll be a part two, probably part three, probably part four.
Yes, because I think you can also talk about how in these failures, emotionally, you were, you know, in these dark times, mm-hmm. and also in the recalibration, mm-hmm. you know, how emotionally you were fixed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what you experienced throughout those moments, you know, what was, you know, your breakdown, mm-hmm. or, yeah. What was the breakthrough?
The breakthrough was understanding that everyone has a threshold that they can be pushed psychologically. And when you snap, that's a great word to say snap, because it becomes like a compound fracture psychologically. And the only way, but when you have a compound fracture on a bone, it's, you know, bone sticking through the skin, it needs to be put back in place. It needs to be cleaned up. It needs to heal. I don't know how long that looks like for each person, especially if it was really sticking with that metaphor. And then it needs to be built up again, that rehabbed again. And then when it is rehabbed, it's actually stronger than before because of density, right? And, you know, the jury's out in the psychiatric world on what that looks like. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you from firsthand experience, if it has gone through that healing process, you do get stronger. You do get better, but you need to be aware of where what had led up to it and how to avoid that at all costs, right? Mm. All right. Awesome. Well, I can. These are the keys that work for me. I can only give them to you, but you are the one who has to unlock the door and walk through it yourself. This is UVU, and we're rowdy.
Until next time.
Until next time.